Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White. Please go with me in a word of prayer to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, thank you for allowing us to live and be a witness of another marvelous day that you have made. Thank you for waking us up in our right mind. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us all week. Thank you for giving us a thank you praise from our mouth, not for what you were doing, but just because you were God all by yourself. I ask that you breathe on this show on today and allow your servants to speak and give what only you allow. God, I also ask for a special prayer for my sister-in-law, G. Please cover her right now in your blood. Give her comfort and strength in the time of her loss. We give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, good people, and thank you for taking the time to tune in with us on today. We are doing part two of Ordering the Home, and I have my man of God here again to help teach this message. Good morning and hello, Elder White.
Praise the Lord, Evangelist. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm blessed.
Amen. So, last week, God had given us order in the home, and I'm just going to give a quick review, recap of it. And Elder White, you feel free to just come on in if you have anything to add. We were just talking about the dynamic of the order in the home, the way God intended for it to be. It is Jesus, and then the man, and then the woman, and the children, and so forth. There is an order that God has set place in the home, as the husband is the head of the wife and Christ is the head of the husband. And we spoke about why he was the head, as well as the submission and being submissive to the husband, and why that is so important. And I just wanted to emphasize again, ladies, because I got a lot of feedback from this. Submission is not something that the husband is requiring. It is something that God commands for us. And when we get that, the smoother a lot of our marriages will be. Amen? Amen. Elder, do you have anything that you wanted to add about last week as far as doing a recap?
No.
Okay. Amen.
Sure.
So this week, what God had given us was Order in the Home Part 2. And since we kind of already did a breakdown about the husband and wife and Christ being over the husband, one of the things that God had given me was just a few things about in the home, you know, maybe sometimes if we just said it this way. One of the things was establish. And Proverbs 24:3, the word of God reads, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established." We establish our homes every day, from the moment we wake to the time we retire at night. Do we wake up with prayer, devotion, thankfulness? What type of atmosphere is being set in your home? For those of you who have children still at home, please go with me to Deuteronomy 6. And that's Deuteronomy 6, and we're going to begin with verse 5. It reads, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might."
Mm-hmm.
And if we go to 7, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So God has a way of already speaking about how we should already establish our home, not only for the husbands and wives, but what we are also supposed to teach our children. Brother teacher, let me ask you, how important is knowing your role and position in the home?
Oh, it's crucial to know your role. Especially the man, you know, because especially when you're talking about children, because we are the first examples to the children. The first role models that your children will see is going to be, you know, your mother and your father. So knowing your role is very important also in the development of children, because there's so many things that they need both from the mother as well as from the father. So it has a lot to do with their psychological makeup and their buildup, and it's very important that we know our roles, and that also that the children also see this area of when we talk about submission. It is very important that they see that, because that is also their lessons as far as in being taught authority. And it's, you know, and that's sadly why you see today that there's no sense of reverence or respect for authority a lot of times for my young people, because they don't see an example of this being performed in the home the way it's supposed to, or in many instances it's out of order, you know. So therefore you have a lot of kids that is numb to respecting women in so many cases, and also not seeing fathers being actively involved in what their role is as the head of that home also sends also issues for the children. So knowing our roles is very, very important.
Amen. That's good. And, you know, I'm not going to go real strong in it, but I am going to touch it. It is so important to know our roles and our positions, as Elder was stating, the role of a man and the role of a woman. We're not modern family. We're not woman and woman, man and man. God intended for marriage to be husband and wife. There is an order and there is a reason. There's a reason why he established man, and there's a reason why he made woman. And when we get that, instead of, you know, when we get that position, and not just for those with same sex that are trying in relationships, but I've also noticed, Elder, that I've seen a lot of women try to do the role of the husband, and it does vex my spirit. A lot of it, I believe, is not being taught properly, and also a lot of it is, you know, trying to assert themselves in a position or in a role that they have not been called to do. Let me ask you a question. What happens when the woman tries to be the head in the home versus the husband?
Well, it just begins the actual forming of dysfunction, because it is not the original order and how God has ordained things to be. And whenever you do things that God has not ordained to be, it opens up the door for other things to creep in that kind of makes it, how can we put it, that kind of makes it a little difficult for other things to work smoothly together, mm-hmm. because you have dysfunction. It will be just like anything.
Yeah.
If you try to add a part, you know, to something that is not the original design of what it's supposed to be, it may function, but it may not function effectively or as good as it could be, because it is not the original design. And that's what we talked about on last week. We talked about that God has a original design and how he has instituted things to work. And when it doesn't work according to that particular order, it just functions dysfunctionally.
Amen.
Or it functions ineffectively, doesn't really bring about the results that it could bring if it was operating in a perfect order. And we have become so numb to it in society, mm-hmm. that we don't even realize that these things are happening. But it just opens up the door for a whole lot of developing issues to have to be addressed, because it's not the order that God has ordained it to be.
Amen. Thank you. And as you was reading, I just wanted to throw in real quick Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. And make sure, you know, ladies, I have a very strong, I'm very strong-minded woman. I am in a position of leadership as well, but there is still a leadership and within my husband that I submit to. And I don't just do it because it's a requirement from him. It's because it's a command from God. And I notice that when we submit and we yield under them, the flow of everything just works so much more better. The next one that God given me was prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How often do we really pray in our homes? Not just when we are in need, but praying all the time. How many of us pray every time we have a meal in our home, let alone out in a restaurant? Not only is morning and evening prayer good habits to form in the home, it also brings the family in the home together and inviting them to receive and feel God's presence. We are the first example, as Elder White has mentioned, that our children will see. If they were to copy what our prayer life was like, would we be proud or would we be ashamed? Elder, what are your words for prayer?
Prayer is very important. You know, one of the scriptures that come to mind is for me is Matthew 26:41, and it says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." It says, "The spirit indeed is willing,
the flesh,
but the flesh is weak."
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of times we, you know, the prayer is so important because of the unexpected things that sometimes creep in our homes or come up in our lives. And we are not prepared to deal with it because we have not prayed or received our daily bread so that we can be able to resist a lot of the fiery darts of the enemy that comes. And sometimes we fall into temptation. We are not prepared really to deal with the onslaught that the devil sends his way, because the devil is not going to stop. He is not going to let up and not do what it is that he we know that he is designed to do.
Amen.
He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
And without having some kind of prayer life, you are going to fall by some type of demonic force in your life. And the sad thing is that without a prayer life, you don't even know what's hitting you. You know, sometimes we say, you know, where did this come from? How did I get in this situation here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you wasn't even expecting it.
That's right.
But a lot of times it is because we have not been prayed up. And, you know, and the weapons of our warfare is not carnal.
Yeah.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and all kinds of different things, imaginations, things that come into your mind.
Yeah.
The Bible says also that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness.
Yes.
In high places,
yeah.
And the devil desires to sift you as wheat. His thing is to sow discord.
That's right.
Among the brethren.
That's right.
And the Bible says that a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. So prayer is
important. One more time, Elder.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
I just, you know, that's just confirmation of what we'll be speaking about next week. But that is so important to understand. A house divided cannot stand. That's in the natural and in the spirit. You can't, you know, when there is division, and you know, I always notice that my prayer life, it's something when God has given you the ability to get a prayer directly up to him, but that takes a lot of spending time with him. And oftentimes, when God is waking us up at certain times at night and we're fasting and praying, it's to give us reserve oil for sometimes what's to come. And sometimes when a storm comes, we try to start praying right there and we're confused and everything. But if we would have been a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you have to have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Pastor Wanda said.
Yeah.
God had a Holy Ghost.
And you know, it's just like Jesus said, you know, that if the strong man,
yes,
you know, if he knew the hour that the thief was going to come, you know, he would have guarded his home.
That's right.
Come you know, up. So, you know, so when you think not, you know what I mean? You know, when you are not really prepared sometimes,
yeah.
You know, you don't know when, you know, the devil is going to, you know, to come and attack you. But I'm just reminded also of the scripture that says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world you're going to have tribulation."
Right.
You're going to have some trouble.
That's, oh, Jesus.
You know, things is going to come, you know, and it's very immature of us to think that, you know, we're going to go through life and not experience something.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we don't know when, so we want to make sure that we're prayed up.
Amen.
And we want to make sure that we have what we need to be able to defend ourselves against, you know, a lot of the devices that the devil tries to set up in our lives to cause us to fall into a snare, into a trap, and really to get us off focus of God. So I think about it like this. I say, you know, when you are not on guard, you know, but I say on God.
See, I like
so
that.
The devil wants to come in and get you off guard.
Yes.
You know, so you got to stay focused on God and what he's doing, because he is a spirit, and we who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And without a prayer life, it's really impossible to deal with the spiritual wickedness that we have to deal with in this world.
Very well. And, you know, it's so important to understand there are certain things you cannot fight in the natural.
Oh, no.
When you, that's the purpose of prayer. But, amen. The other one that God gave me was study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order for us to stay in tune with the will of God, we must study the word of God every day. One of the things that I find it very funny is that God gives us 24 hours in a day, and we will give the man 8 hours of our labor. And some of us get between 5 to 8 hours of sleep. How much time do we really give to God? If he says that we are to give him 10%, 24 hours of 10% is 2 hours and 40 minutes, however you want it. You want to pray, you want to get in your word, you want to meditate, you want to worship, but 2 hours and 40 minutes, if you give unto God every day, I guarantee your day will go a lot better. And Elder, how important is that, you know, for one to really study the word of God? Because I'm going to be honest, as a teacher myself, when you up there teaching, I'm reading the word with you. And if you off, I ain't going to say nothing and embarrass you, but I say, Lord, cover them, because we have others that we are teaching at the time, and they're holding on to what you have to say. So, and we need to stop impressing. It says, study thy word to show thyself approved unto God, not man, right? So what do you think about that, Elder, as far as studying the word of God?
Well, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit, I know one of the things about the Holy Ghost, it is the spirit of truth.
That's right.
And the Holy Ghost is given to us to bring back to remembrance the things that Jesus has said. So if you don't have the word of God on the inside written on your heart, then the Holy Ghost doesn't have anything to bring back to your remembrance.
Mm.
Because we are battling things, and you have to apply word. You have to
apply scripture.
You know, when I think about Jesus, as soon as he has been baptized and led into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy, you know, of the devil, you know, he used the word in order to dwart off the attacks of the enemy. And Old Testament Psalm scriptures. You know, so you have to be able to look at your situation and recite word. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful,
sharper
than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart.
Yes.
And you know, and the Bible also says that we may be able to rightfully divide the word.
That's right.
So without studying, a lot of times we can wrongly divide this, and this is why you have so many different denominations out here, why you have so many different churches. You got so many different things that's going on because we hold on to a certain scripture. We want to make it a certain type of doctrine to open up a church, and sometimes we are not rightfully dividing the word. And the Bible tells us to believe not every spirit.
Okay.
But try the spirit to see if it is of God. And you can only do this by knowing the word of God for yourself.
Yes.
You know, we used to, you know, tell everyone, you know, at a church that I was assistant pastor of, we used to get your own Bible.
Amen.
You know, and study.
That's right.
And like you were saying, if we're saying something and it is off, you know, it is important that you know.
Amen.
And you let us know, hey, you know, Elder,
you
was a little off on this one here. Well, ask questions. We got a lot of times, you know, studying is also, you know, getting with your local church, making sure that you were saying, I don't know why, but it seems Christians.
Elder. Yes.
Are the only group that feel that they can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Fire baptized.
Mature and dedicated.
Yes.
But have no knowledge.
Jesus.
If I go to a school to be a medical physician. I have to go to school and study.
That's right.
If I want to be a soldier, I have to go through basic training.
Yeah, study.
I got to study. Yes. Any type of field, you have to go to school and learn and be certified.
But, Elder, I done went to church. I checked off that box. I got on my Sunday best. And I pay my tithes and offering, and I'm a good person. Ain't that enough?
Yeah, well, you know, I can go and visit a hospital and be around a whole bunch of doctors,
Amen.
You know, and then say, you know what, I can do that.
Come on.
I think Jesus. I can. I think that I can use that knife and perform a surgery on your body without going to any type of professional school, and I think I can be successful at it. How would you feel?
Amen.
You know, would you want me to, can I operate on you, Evangelist?
Well, Elder, spiritually, not in the natural, but
well, I see the procedure in the spirit. Now, I see it in the spirit.
Amen.
I know I can do it. Do you believe?
Well, I believe you because you studied your word, Elder. That's why you on live with me today. But I agree so much, and I want pastors and teachers and bishops, apostles and prophetess and prophets to get this. When we ask questions, it is not to challenge authority.
Mm.
The Bible says, know those that you labor among. And as a teacher, I used to always tell my students, it's no such thing as a dumb question. But what I am knowing and noticing is that oftentimes when those of us come with questions, because you have not studied your word and got preparation like you should, you don't have an answer.
Amen.
So instead of us saying, I'll get back with you when God gives me an answer, we get frustrated and upset, and we say you're trying to challenge or you're trying to, and it's not that, you're really trying to get an understanding. The Bible says in all our getting, get a what?
Understanding.
So I'm trying to get an understanding of the word that you have just spoken.
Well, you definitely should be able to defend anything that you read. I'm a strong believer in that. If you believe in it, you should be able to defend, you know, what it is that you believe in and what it is that you're preaching. You know, the Bible also lets us know not to fall into any types of into debates.
Amen.
And I just wanted to say that sometimes you can tell if questions that is coming is not coming with a sense of really trying to understand what it is you're saying.
Amen.
But it is to, you know, to be funny and to, you know, to cause, you know,
chaos
and drama.
Amen.
You know, and you have to be able to know which, because you're trying to keep an atmosphere conducive to people to learn.
Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, you have to nullify a lot of things that's
Amen.
Going on in your Bible studies.
Very, very good, Elder. The last one that God had given me was church. Hebrews 10 and 25 reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I had to give this scripture because it's in the New Testament, and many people, thank God for T.D. Jakes and Paula White and all those other good ones out there that we can watch live on television sometimes during the week. But on Sunday, we need to get into a local church, and we need to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Going to the house of God is more than attendance to check off your to-do list. It involves the entire worship of Christ and is an outward sign of inner condition. The assembling of God's people provides opportunity for encouragement, strengthening, and the stirring up that can be gained from one another. It consists of worship and fellowship. The church is a body interacting. It is not merely a dispensary of spiritual food and medicine. I truly believe the family makes up the church, and we know we live in a time where we need more believers to pray and intercede with us and ours. I believe when the homes get right, Elder, and get in order, the churches will get right and get in order, because we bring to church the family. And if you got chaos and dysfunction going on in your home, you bring in that same chaos and dysfunction to the house of God, and then we want to say the pastors are out of order. But what happened is we have brought that in. See, one thing I know about the devil, he can't just come in. You got to give him. Somebody gives him an opening to be able to come in. But I wanted to ask you, how important is it for those of us in the body, the believers, to assemble themselves with other brothers and teachers.
It's very important. There's some things that you're not going to get in the comforts of your home. You have to actually be yoked up with, you know, with the saints.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible declares that we are many members, but we are one body.
That's right.
And that means that there's certain things, just like the body has certain nutrients and things that it needs.
Yeah.
There are certain things that we have to be connected to that comes from the local body that has a lot to do with our development.
Yeah.
It has to do a lot with our personal development and skills.
Yeah.
And being able to relate one with another.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to contend and so forth with the saints.
Yeah.
That is very important. God didn't make us to actually be prophets in our homes.
Amen.
You know, he made us to be able to kind of relate with different people. And sometimes judgment has to start at the church. We have to be there in order to see a lot of the things that's going on within the body and being able to address those issues head on.
Amen.
So we get this by yoking ourselves up with fellow believers, because there's things that they have that is important also to me.
Amen.
And there are things that God has placed in you that is very important for the body.
Amen.
And that's why he gave the church gifts.
Mm.
He gave the apostle, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher.
Oh.
For the perfecting of the what? The saints.
Mm.
For the working of the ministry.
Amen.
But you're not going to get that perfecting.
Yes.
Unless you are tied in with a local church of body of believers.
Very well. That was good, Elder. I believe we should make our home where the Holy Spirit is always welcome and present, is always there. Spring clean your home, not only in the spring, but declutter, organize, and keep the presence of love by smiling and looking to the way of your household. Do not become idle or busybodies, ladies. It's so important that we ain't over to other people's house cleaning their house and telling them what they need to do, and you got dishes and you got loads of clothes in your home.
Oh,
I'm
Lord.
Just saying. Amen. When your home is in order, the flow runs smoothly. When everybody knows their position and the role they play, everyone is at their own post, and you have peace and harmony. And I know, Elder, one of your greatest fruit of the Spirit is peace.
That's
and
right.
It is something about having order in the home and you know, just the position and the presence of God and it flowing the way it needs to. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I just want to say that, you know, I pray that this telecast is a blessing to all of the listeners. It was a blessing for me, and I was glad to be on with you this morning.
Amen, baby. I was glad to have you on, as always. Just giving you all a bonus. Next week is going to be amazing because we are going to talk about order in the house of God. Our message has come to an end. Elder, thank you again. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Praise the Lord.
I pray something was said that may cause you to reevaluate the order in your home. Feel free to visit my website at www.ccmw.co. The CCMW stands for Christ Controls My Writing. Also, if you have not gotten the chance to do so, please purchase my book on Amazon, A Saint with the Past. It is a very, very good read. If God says the same, we will be here again next Saturday, March 7th at 7 a.m. Love them sevens. If nobody else tells you, God loves you, and so do we. Have a blessed weekend, and tell somebody you love them. Amen?
Amen.
Blessings.